Joshua is where we're going to start today. Joshua in chapter 3. Joshua in chapter 3. Give you a few moments there to get on to the right page. Joshua chapter 3. We'll be starting out looking at the first five verses by way of our text, or at least our introduction this morning. But I want to bring a message to you guys titled, titled, "For You Have Not Passed This Way Heretofore." Given the current situation that we are in, and really not even just the current situation, but the situations that we are in every single day, every month, every time of our life, we tend to have a routine. We get into a routine, and it's a trap sometimes to get in a routine. I like living a scheduled life. I like to plan and schedule and live my life via a diary. And that's the way I enjoy doing it. However, some things happen in our life that interrupt that diary. They interrupt schedules, and we have to be able to adapt and make the needed changes in our life to continue on progressing in our life, to continue on going forward, but even though it doesn't meet our schedule and our time. Joshua chapter 3, beginning reading with me in verse 1, the Bible says, "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, and he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. They commanded the people, saying, When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Surely the reading of the Word of God will be a blessing to your heart and your mind this morning. So here we find Israel on the other side of Jordan, waiting to enter the promised land by the Lord, his people. All that stands in their way, the only things between the nation of Israel, the Israelites, all that stands between them is the mighty rushing river Jordan. Israel had wandered through the wilderness for 40 years, and now they can all but see the land. They can all but smell the land. They can all see that land that was promised unto them, that was promised unto Father Abraham. And all of these years down the way, and all of these decades, and these centuries later, finally, the nation of Israel is getting ready to proclaim and claim the land that God had given them directly. Only thing, again, I say that stands in their way, the only thing that stands in their way is this river. The Jordan River is known as the River of Judgment. Dan means judge. Genesis 49:16 says, "Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel." And so it's noted as one of the fastest moving rivers in the world. Evidence is seen of this as it's found within certain areas of the River Jordan that vegetation cannot and does not grow. There's no evidence whatsoever of vegetation growing in these areas because of the quick moving waters of the River Jordan. Now, at some times of the year, one can easily walk across the River Jordan without complication, much like we could the Severn. There are certain times of the day of the week that we could just walk right across the River Severn, but there's certain times when you could not. At this particular time, at this particular year, the River Jordan was impassable. You could not walk across it. The water was rushing mightily, and it was filled to the brink. We know that by way of evidence of reading verse 15 and in the latter part. The latter part of verse 15 says, "For Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest." So it was a harvest time when they were ready to come in, and the River Jordan was filled up. It was filled up beyond its brink, beyond its filled all its banks up, and it was mightily rushing through there. So Israel, for three days, would camp at Jordan. They would hear the mighty rushing waters of this river, a perpetual reminder, if you will, of the obstacle which stood between them and the promised land. Them and the promised land. So I want you to take notice of the instructions that were given. And it's important that you grab a hold of this here today. Look in the second and third verse of chapter 3. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests of the Levites bearing it, then shall ye remove from your place and go after it." When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and he says later on, go after it. When you see it, go after it. No other instructions were given at this time. Just go after the Ark of the Covenant when you see it begin to move. When you see the Levites bearing it. When you see it moving, you move with it. Now I want you to understand, guys, that the Ark of the Covenant was Israel's most cherished item. It contained its most sacred treasures. It was a symbol of God's presence and power among his people. The ark was a golden rectangular box with two cherubim facing one another on its cover. Inside the ark were the Ten Commandments, which was given to Moses, the second copy, I must say, a container of manna, which fell from heaven, and the rod of Aaron, which budded. It was a symbol of the high priest's authority. The ark was meant to be borne, never dragged or carried onto a cart. And it was only meant to be borne by the Levites, no one else. It was constructed at the same time the tabernacle was, and it was set in the Holy of Holies, the most sacred place of the tabernacle, the dwelling place of God on this earth. Where God dwelt on this earth was where this Ark of the Covenant was set. So the orders were set and the direction was given. So I want you to notice with me first, this is important here. As we take a step back, this is important for us to understand that the orders were set and the direction was given. But notice with me, number one, the preparation. Notice with me the preparation. Look in verse 5. Verse 5 says, "Tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. The people were commanded to prepare the wonderful working of the Lord, to prepare for the wonderful working of the Lord, to be ready, to be prepared for what the Lord God was going to do among his people. Guys, preparing, if you think about it like this, preparing would include a spirit of expectation. There was to be an expectant mind, a heart for the people of God, for God himself. They were to possess within their being the expectation of the Lord to do a mighty work among them. Now I want you to stop and I want you to think about this. Here's the question. Do we have that same expectation today? When we come to church, do we have that expectation? When we come to Bible study, do we have that expectation? When we go to our prayer closet or kneel down to our bed and we begin to pray and ask God these particular prayers, or we open our Bibles up in the morning, we begin to read his word. Do we come to his word? Do we come to his throne with a spirit of expectation? When we get up in the morning, do we arise out of our bed with a spirit of expectation that God is going to work a mighty work amongst us this very day? You say, well, preacher, no, every day is the same. Well, I think our current situation has proven that every day has not been the same. I believe we're living in times right now that we've not passed through, we've not passed this way heretofore. We're in a place and a day and an age now. We're in a week and a time and a month and a period of our life that we haven't been through before. But are we living with an expectation? Did we prepare 4 weeks ago for where we're living now? Are we preparing today for the Lord to work mighty wonders amongst us? And I'm not talking about fire from heaven. I'm not talking about, you know, a mildew stain on the wall. I'm not talking about, you know, some type of sign given. I'm just talking about a mighty work that God can do in our life. He wants to do a work in our life. Are we preparing for him to work amongst his people? You say, well, preacher, I don't know. Am I? Well, when you witness to people, when you tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, when you tell them about the gospel, when you pray for people, are you praying, expecting the Lord to save their soul? Are you witnessing to them, expecting the Lord to work a mighty work? Are you telling them about the precious gift of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with an expectant heart that the Holy Spirit of God will convict them to bring them to an open a line of contrition so that they will be converted? Do you expect that? Or are you just reciting the words for a little tick box? Are you just kneeling at your prayer closet or your bedside at night just so you can tick a box off? My friend, if you're doing that, that's not a spirit of expectation. You're not expecting God to do what you're telling people you want him to do. For Israel, this was a time of preparation, and understand where they were. For 40 years, they had walked through this wilderness. Everyone save Caleb and Joshua that was above the age of 20 when they spied out the land after 2 years of being, they've died. They're gone. They're done and dusted. They're not there. So now here's Joshua ready to lead the nation of Israel into the promised land. The land that they heard about, the land where 38 years prior, he went in there and he witnessed, him and Caleb witnessed, and he came back and says, we can take the land. Now he's saying, we're going after it today. And we've prepared for this for 9 to 40 years. Do we in our life today, as we sit here and we say, the Lord's coming back soon, do we in our life, when we say, the Lord will save your soul, do we in our life, when we sit down and we prepare and we pray and we preach to others, we proclaim the gospel, do we really believe in our heart that we're preparing for a mighty work to be done amongst us? You know, guys, here's what I want to say. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ made it clear, and this is just a sidebar, but I'll say this. The Lord Jesus Christ made it very, very clear. When people marveled at the mighty works that he did, raising the dead, healing the blind, the deaf would hear, the paralytic would walk, and he did all these things, and yet he says, greater works will ye do than these, for I go unto my Father. What greater work? Beloved, there's a greater work than being healed in this world, and that's being healed in the world to come. There's a greater work that is being done, and that is this: when a soul gives their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no greater work, there is no greater gift, there is no greater blessing than that happening. That's a mighty wonder that can occur in our day today, because the Lord Jesus Christ is still saving souls today. But I challenge you with this thought this morning. I challenge you to face this part. Do you believe it? Do you expect him to do these things? You know, it was made clear, tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Do we lay our head down at night and say, Lord, I'm preparing for a great wonder for you to do tomorrow. I'm preparing to receive a text message, an email, a phone call for somebody testifying that they gave their heart to Christ. Do you expect it? Notice with me, secondly, this morning. Notice with me, not only was there a time of preparation, but beloved, understand that there was a pattern to follow. Look in verse 3 with me again. Look in verse 3. It says that he commanded the people, saying, now listen carefully here, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. This pattern was given in a threefold cord. The first section that we see of this pattern is number subpoint number one. There is a point of reference. Guys, it's not the land or the destination that they were to go after. It was not the land. It was not the water. It was not the feet. It was not the hips, the shoulders, the hands. It was that Ark of the Covenant that the Israelites were given. They were to look for that Ark. And when that Ark moved, they were to go after it. They wasn't to look beyond the ark. They wasn't to look below the ark or above the ark. They wasn't to look in the direction the ark was being carried. They were to look to that ark. That's the point of reference. When it moves, go after it. When it stops, stop. They were to have their eyes set on the symbol of God on this earth. Their eyes were to be on God and go after him no matter where he went, no matter what was in front, no matter what was to the side, no matter what was before them. They were to go after that which represented the Lord God. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 2, very familiar passage of scripture, says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I mean, beloved, you got to understand, the first pattern that we see is a point of reference. And in our life today, we can be looking around the storms, we can be looking around at the negativity, we can be looking around at everything that's going on in our world today, and we can be distracted and entered into points of despair and depression and darkness and discouragement and all of these things, and yet our eyes should be focused on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. There was a campaign in Tennessee where we used to live, in a local church there. And throughout all this little town there, they had these signs in the yard. They were yellow and black signs. And it says, eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And that's all it said. No scripture, no nothing, no none of that. No advertisement for the church. Matter of fact, I don't even know the church that was doing it. But you'd pass these signs in people's yards or their front gardens and right by the road. And they said, keep your eyes on. It was a great reminder that no matter what is going on in our life, no matter what battles, no matter what, keep your eyes. It's a struggle, guys. I'm not saying it's easy, but I am saying this. It's possible. The Israelites had to keep their eyes on that Ark of the Covenant and go after that Ark of the Covenant. Nothing else. So the pattern is set for the point of reference. The pattern is also set for our position. Now notice this with me. Our position is important. Look at verse 4 with me. The Bible says, yet there shall be a space between you and it. It being the Ark of the Covenant. About 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it that ye may, watch this, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. You haven't been here before. You haven't been where you're traveling. You haven't been through this time before. You haven't seen this before. This is something different. The land in which you're going, this is a different place. The way that you're going to get, this is all different now. You haven't been this way. Guys, the people not only needed to have the proper point of reference by looking at the Ark of the Covenant, but they had to be in their proper position. And you may say, ask why? So they can maintain their sight. You see, guys, if they got too far behind that Ark of the Covenant, they may lose sight of where it is and the direction it's heading. If they got too close, they may skew their alignment, malalign their position. Probably one of the greatest events on this topic. He's found in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14, verses 29 through 31 says, and he said, come. Now you understand, this is when Jesus was walking on the water. And Peter said, hey, if it be thou, bid me to come. Jesus said, come. Come on, let's go. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water. Hands down. I challenge you to go get out in the water and try to walk on it today. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. That was the point of reference, to go to Jesus. His position was up on the water and he was doing fine because his point of reference was aligned properly. So he's walking on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now, someone reading that story and not knowing the story very well would probably look at that thing and say, why in the world did he say he had little faith? Why did he say that he doubt? The man was walking on water, but here's the key. He lost his point of reference, and when he lost his point of reference, he lost his position. When he lost his position, he lost it because he took his eyes off there. He took his eyes and his place off the pattern. The point of reference was Christ. The position was on the water, walking forward. But what happened was when the winds blew and the storms came, Peter was doing what the Lord was doing. He asked the Lord to bid him to come on the water, and the Lord said, come on. Peter defied gravity. He defied every law of physics. The moment he stepped out on the water. But only when his eyes were on the point of reference. Only when his position was proper, the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, the millisecond that Peter took his eyes off of the point of reference, he lost his position. The moment he began to look around at the storms, the moment he began to see and feel the wind and the rain batting upon him, the moment that happened, he sank like a rock. And beloved, we haven't been where we are now before. Peter had never been on top of the water like that with his bare feet before, with his sandals. We are living today in uncertain times, and we're living in a day today that even though it's uncertainty, even though it's a struggle, even though there's doubt and we don't understand what's going on, time's still moving forward. The winds are still going to blow. The rain is still going to come down. The lightning is still going to strike. The thunder is still going to clap. Those things are still going to happen. Even in the midst of all of this that's going on with the virus all over the world, we see that there was at least 19 deaths, in, I believe, in Mississippi and Louisiana from a tornado that that wrecked through there just the other day. That's on top of everything that's happening. The world continues to move. Problems still occur. Bills are still coming in. Storms are still raging. But the point of reference doesn't change. Your position must be where it is today, so that you can properly follow that point of reference, beloved. Where are we focusing today? No, we haven't been in this situation before. We haven't been dealing with a lockdown and a quarantine. We haven't been. Our generation has not been here before. But nonetheless, we're here. So how's our position today? Are we focused on the point of reference? Are we following the pattern? Upon whom are we placing our sight this morning? Guys, the Israelites were to be in a position of following and focusing on God. Lock, stock, and barrel. Not the situations or the circumstances that were occurring, but God. They were not to shorten or lengthen the distance between the two, lest their view or their image of God be blurred or maligned. And I think we've seen many a people in our world, not only today during our uncertain times, but even beforehand, that they altered their position and their imagery of God became maligned or blurred. They altered their position on the Word of God, and who God was changed in their heart. They altered their position on the purification of the Word of God and the preservation and, yes, sir, the inspiration of the Word of God. And you know what happened? Their side of God changed. It malaligned. It blurred. So why is this such a serious point this morning? Why is it so important that we maintain our position so that we can focus on the point of reference in the pattern that God has set after the preparation? It's because we haven't been here before. Guys, 2020 is a new year. 2019 is done and gone. We've never been in 2020. We've never been in the place we are before. We've never been in this situation. We have never been in a situation like we are in now. Mind you, hey, listen, whereas this is a very new thing to all of us, it's not unbearable. No, by length of any imagination, it's not unbearable. It's just new. It's just different. We could be without water and heat and food. It's just a new situation. It's probably a bit disturbing for many. It's disrupted our daily schedules. I get that. But it's not unbearable. Not for most. Now I say that, guys, and what popped in my head is a conversation I had with my wife two nights ago, I think it was, and you know, maybe you're out there listening, and you're involved in a situation. You're in this quarantine and lockdown, and you're stuck in a home with someone who's abusive. You know, I'm not talking to you when I say this is not unbearable. And mind you, I'm gonna go ahead and say this: if you're abusing someone during this time, you need to stop it. You need to stop it. I'll stop there because I can feel my anger boiling just a little bit because they ain't no... Listen, if you're a male and you're hitting on a woman, you're not a man.
Right.
You're a boy. I'll challenge you to come down and hit me and quit hitting a woman. We haven't been in this situation before, guys. Israel had never been in this situation before. It was uncharted waters for them, and it's uncharted waters for us. We've never been where we are. But our focus must not be on the circumstances. It must not be on the situation. Our focus needs to be ready for the Lord to work wonders. The pattern is the point of reference. That is the Lord God. The pattern is the point of reference and our position. But thirdly, there's a period that is given. There's a period of time. Just like there's a point of reference, just like there's a position that's required of us, a point of reference for us to look at, there's a period of time that God has given us. Look in verse 8 with us. Verse 8, the Bible says, "And thou shalt command the priest that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, When ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan." We'll stop there for just a second. Just stand still. Now, I understand that we know they camped there for 3 days, and I understand that Joshua said that, you know, you prepare your hearts for tomorrow. The Bible says tomorrow the Lord will work wonders. I understand all that, and they knew there was a time frame that God was going to do something miraculous on the next day. I understand all of that, but initially they were said, go to your tents, and until you see that ark being borne by the Levites, you stay there, then you come out of your place, then you get into your position. But even now they're in their position and they're waiting. They had to sit there for a period of time. All is set. Everything is ready. The pattern is laid. The point of reference is God. The position are the people in their place. And now the Lord gives them a period of time to just wait. Wait on God to move. Wait on God to do something miraculous. Wait on God to show Himself. It's a period of patience, my friend. It's a period of trust. It's a period of faith and dependence. And mind you, it's a period of silence. Beloved, I don't know how long all of this in our life is going to take. As of right now, for most of what we're hearing, it's a game of hypotheses. Yet I know who knows it all. I know the one who knows the ending from the beginning. Right. I know that we're in a period of patience right now. The Bible tells us that in our patience, you know, that salvation is seen. Guys, in our patience, guys, it will build our faith. The trying of your faith worketh patience. It's a period of trust. It just is. You may be sitting there today saying, yeah, but I want to know answers. And I get that. God's got the answers, and He'll let you know when it's time. The Israelites had a stand. They'd never been in this situation before. They'd never been in that place before. They were come there. They were told, when you see the ark of God, borne upon the Levites, then you leave your place. They left their place, and then they were told to stand and just wait. It's a time of faith, a period of faith. Now, the Bible tells us faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. It's a time of dependence. The Bible says, in all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy path. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart prior to that, and lean not unto thine own understanding. We have a temptation to want to lead to our own understanding. We want to try to justify this and get a grip on this one. And we want to try to reason why something has happened. And can I just encourage you to take on board this thought this morning? Sometimes, my friend, there simply isn't a reason why. It just isn't. It's a period of silence sometimes. Now, in my heart of hearts, I see these Israelites standing on the other side of Jordan. I see those priests before their feet had gotten wet, bearing that ark of the Lord. And I see them just standing there, and they're waiting for something. They're waiting for God to move. They're waiting for the Lord to work wonders. They had already received the promise that that was going to happen. And I believe in all of my heart and my soul that during that period of waiting, it was silent. Sometimes you just got to get to a quiet place to be able to deal with what's going on. Sometimes you got to get into the midst of just pure silence so that you can wait for God to move. For Him to do something wonderful. Again, I don't know how long all of this is going to take. It's a guessing game right now. It doesn't mean, though, it doesn't mean that we're sitting back on our laurels expecting everything to be done for us. The Israelites had a job to do. The Levites had a job to do. All of those Israelites that were, they had a job, they had a position to be in, they had a point of reference to look upon, and they had a period of time to wait. But it doesn't mean that we sit back in the present thing that we're going on now and just expect it all to be done for us. It means we keep working. Means we keep pressing forward in our life. It means that we keep moving ahead, trusting that all of this that we're dealing with will pass. Luke 19 tells me in verse 13, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds. And he said unto them, occupy till I come. The Lord Jesus Christ in that illustration gave a period of time. And that period of time was till I come. Did you know that this is the only time the word occupy occurs in the New Testament? The only other time it occurs in the Bible is one more time in the Old Testament, the book of Ezekiel. So out of the entire 27 books of the New Testament, occupy occurs only once, and it occurs in the illustration the Lord Jesus Christ is using right here, where this ruler had given 10 pounds to his servants. And said, you know what? Give each 10 pounds. Occupy till I come. The point of reference was that ruler. The position was their occupation. The period of time was until he came back. And my friend, can I say this to you this morning? I'm done. We'll finish this off tonight, part two. Tomorrow, it'll be shorter than this morning, but part two will be tonight. We're given the job to do. Each one of us in this life today are given an opportunity to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ to everyone in our sphere of influence. It does not matter how big your sphere of influence is. It doesn't matter where it is. All that matters is that the Lord has given you one. Just like in the illustration, the servants were given 10 pounds, each one. All right? You're given 10 pounds. You're given 10 people. You're given whatever it may be. But you're given something or someone and a footprint in this world to occupy. So the point of reference is God. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Hebrews 12:2. The position we're given, we're to occupy. The period of time until He comes. So beloved, despite the circumstances and the situations that we are now dealing with and that we're working with in this world today, we have a job to do. And whether we're doing it online or whether we're doing it by the phone, the old-fashioned style way, or whether we're doing it on a text message or whether we're doing it by email, one way or another, we are to utilize venues today, whether it's Marco Polo, Skype, Zoom, whatever it may be, FaceTime, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, all of it. Whatever we are given to do, we need to make sure that we do it. Until He comes. Because He is going to work wonders around us. He is going to work miracles today. The miracles of saving souls. In this situation, in this circumstance, I think life is going to be greatly different when the virus goes away. But nonetheless, we still need to occupy till He comes. We'll pick up tonight and finish the rest of it off. Bow your head with me this morning. Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for the opportunity and time to be together. We ask of You, Lord, that if You please bless, take this message, write it upon the table of our hearts. Encourage us, I pray, that during these days, that we'd be mindful to occupy until You come, that we'd be mindful to be steadfast and diligent in the work that You've given each and every one of us to do, that we, dear Lord, would wait for the wonders that You're going to do in the saving of soul, that You would bring the increase. But Father, I pray that You'd prick our hearts, that You'd bless each and every soul. We'd see souls saved. In the midst of this, dear God, I pray that people would call out to the name of Jesus and be born again. Lord, I love You. I thank You for all that You've done and who and what You are. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Before we dismiss, guys, I just want to remind you that we are back online tonight at 6 p.m. We'll definitely be on Facebook. We'll be on YouTube. Instagram may not be able to be on because we do run that direct as it is. So I just want to encourage you guys to join with us tonight at the same time at 5:30. Love to have you along with us. We thank you for being with us this morning. Lord bless you all. We miss you. We're praying for you. Stay in contact one with another, and we will see you soon. God bless. Glory, glory, hallelujah. All righty. Well, praise the Lord. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. You gotta start doing that with me. I don't know.
The connection went out.
Ooh.